Page Burners.
And welcome to the first episode of Page Burner. We're going to try something here. So it's just, my name's Jacob.
I'm Cameron.
And we're the hosts of this, I guess. We're just, I think how did this get started, Cameron?
I don't even know who was supposed to start this whole thing.
Like, how did we get the idea for this?
Oh, man. So we were reading a really terrible book.
Okay.
And we just had this, we were riffing on it just so much. We thought, man, this would be entertaining if we were to record it and make it a podcast. So we put a microphone on the table and put some blankets up in a vain attempt to
noise
stop the
cancel.
Echo.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we have no experience in this.
Not like a good setup or something. Like, I've recorded stuff and put it out there, but it's still not like good quality to quite listen to or anything like that. Nothing I'm proud to ride home to mom about.
Nothing of that sort. Okay, so
should we talk about kind of like the purpose behind this?
Yeah, so what we're doing here is we are looking at all sorts of literature, whether it be fiction, nonfiction, published articles, poetry, basically anything that has ever been pen to paper. We are looking at the ones that are the real bottom of the barrel.
Yes. Of course, I think we both enjoy reading and writing. I don't want to speak for you, Cameron. Maybe you are a bad writer, but I know I'm a bad writer.
Oh, I'm a garbage writer. That's for sure.
So none of us are coming from a place of like, oh, we're so much better than the...
No, but my credentials, my qualifications for this is that I got a 5 on my AP literature exam in high school about 8 years ago. Okay. And that makes me qualified to rip other people's literature to shreds. What's your qualification?
I like books, and I read and I listen, and I have an Audible account. And if I want to bring up an old high school credential, I can, but it's not impressive. Like, I was an editor for a creative writing class, but come on. Like, that's all I know is that these things are often unpolished, but the purpose of us reading them and sharing them with you, random listener, is,
dear sweet listener.
Actually, yes, dear sweet, you're not random. You're amazing.
Well, I mean, this first episode, it's probably like...
It's probably going to be myself.
It's our friends and family, if that.
Yeah, they're probably... Yeah, that's fine.
Hi, Mom.
Hello, his mom. we don't want this to be like a really mean-spirited kind of exploration of literature. I think we both want this to be constructive and supportive, because here's the thing. Like, we know we're bad writers, and a part of that is we embrace that, and we still know that, like, regardless of our talents or lack thereof, we enjoy the writing. And just because you don't have to be good at a game to enjoy playing it. So we want to make this so that, you know, people still understand that it's okay to write something bad and crappy, and it's also okay to receive criticism. That being said, if we have some kind of comment system, when this is posted, like, drop us a comment. If you don't like something, let us know. Let us know. If you're the author of the book we're reading, that's fine too, I guess. Yeah. So
we're going to get some nasty emails in that case.
Yeah,
because believe me, there's going to be some jokes about this.
Yeah. So this book is called Different Suits, Same Stripes, From Prison to Penthouse, How the Rise to the Top is the Same. There is the same of what? I don't know. There are no colons. There is no official subtitle. It feels like he has two subtitles here. And that's just the title. And it's...
I mean, workplace is a prison, am I right?
Yeah, that's what he's going for. So
how about them Mondays?
The general synopsis, not, I guess, synopsis. So this is a, what is it, like a pride right or something like that. Like
an ego right?
Yeah, like it's he's written it for sake of his ego and for
it's a bucket list item. You can yeah. Say. Like he was in prison. He wanted to write a book to, I guess, tell people he wrote a book.
Yeah, and a lot of this you'll see his ego involved. And
nor the sirens. They're not for us.
Yes, they are not for us. They have not found me yet. But yeah, he's someone that it wants to discuss his prison experience. And unfortunately,
this is kind of fitting because we're talking about prison experience and yeah. There's police sirens going sirens. On.
You know, that is pretty good.
You know, we're just going to say that was a part of it.
You know what? That is a, we got a sound guy.
We have a sound guy?
I don't know. I was going to improv
that kind of budget.
Yeah, this is currently a pizza budget here.
Yeah, Little Caesar's pizza.
We'll keep coming by as long as one of us can pay for our pizza. Yeah, so he wrote a self-help book. And I personally do not like self-help books, so I'm already kind of in the negative for a lot of this. But when you're writing a self-help book, and you have a large ego, it kind of goes into this thing of try to be like me and these are my experiences and my opinions are the only correct ones. And that's kind of a dangerous thought process. So there's a lot of bad stuff like that in here. But there's also like some really interesting things because a lot of his viewpoints of what the prison system is and looks like is pretty insightful, honestly. Some of it is cartoonish, but he does have some really solid criticism on some things. And I was like, man, if you just wrote this as a memoir, maybe this would be a better thing to put out. But instead, it's a self-help book, and he's teaching me how to be a Chad. So
The Giga Chad.
So let's start on page 3. You got your own copy there. I am not going to make fun of the author's appearance here because... Here's the thing, like, I think shaming someone's appearance is, like, that. I don't think that's a cool thing to do. Like, I'm personally, like, he's a buff dude, he definitely wants to look cool, and he definitely wants to look good, and in all honesty, like, he grooms himself. So that's cool. He is puffing out his chest quite a bit in this picture, which... I mean
to be fair, his biceps are so big he could probably crack my neck just by like putting my head in between.
Yeah, he'd crush you like a walnut, Cameron.
Yeah.
We probably shouldn't tell him because that's a challenge.
But, no, he doesn't know me.
But Cameron, what do you first notice here in the table of contents?
There are way too many chapters.
Yes. This is a 300 like 300, I think 24 page book. And if you open up through it, you'll notice that the font's pretty big, the margins are ridiculous, and there's a lot of spacing between paragraphs, which means this book should actually be about 100 pages, and each chapter is approximately 2.6 pages long. So.
Yeah, the margins go almost all the way to the end of the page. It is really weird.
Yeah, it's pretty wonky formatting. I think we'll see that this is pretty stream of consciousness. Yeah.
Which isn't a bad thing, so long as you edit it down a bit afterwards.
Oh, definitely.
Because, I mean, what I've always learned when it comes to writing is the first thing you do is what my teacher said, vomit on the paper.
Oh, yeah.
And then just kind of clean it up afterwards.
Yeah, the issue here is he had no one to help clean his vomit. Like, you needed a beta reader, and he needed an editor. He needed help, and it's okay to ask for help when you're doing this. He told me when I asked him about this, and I gave him some opinions, I talked to him about this, and he's like, yeah, I hope to go ahead and update it and put out, like, a second edition or whatever, and I'm like, okay, cool. So, hopefully...
Wait, second edition. Yeah. So, we looked this up before.
Yeah.
The title of this book that I have here in my hands is Different Suits, Same Stripes.
Yeah.
But if you look it up on Amazon...
It only comes up as...
As Prison to Penthouse.
Yeah. Yep.
So, are there already two editions?
I think I don't think he's actually edited it because but I don't think he's actually put out a second edition there. I think that's just what it is under Amazon. I honestly don't know that, but I'm making that assumption because he has more than one book. He has more than one about his experiences. One of them is about a nasty breakup. But yeah, 37 chapters for like a 322 page book, which means it's about two and a half pages or so. An interesting thing that you might want to know is that in this, actually, we'll get to that here. There's no page numbers in that copy that you got there.
It's like a boneless table of contents. Like, yeah. What's the point?
If you wanted to get to a specific chapter, you can see that there is a chapter by a name there, but there's no page number to direct you to it. You just have to kind of guess and memorize, which, I don't know. I think I'm good with the table of contents here. In this first little bit. Dedication. We might have a book dedicated to us. Cameron, do you mind reading this first little bit here?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, use your good reading voice for this one. The good one.
This book is dedicated to those who constantly force me to fight. Is that a good thing?
Keep reading.
Your endless attacks have literally gift-wrapped my every ounce of success, and I look forward to serving your lemonade for profit every single f***ing day. Do we want to bleep that?
You're the one. You're the sound guy, actually.
So I'm the sound guy.
You are the
right.
Sound guy here. So I wasn't planning on swearing. He does actually, like, censor himself throughout this book. Like, it'll be like F asterisk.
But he didn't censor himself here.
He did not, no.
So why does he censor himself later?
No idea. You'll find that a ton of this is inconsistent.
Hashtag, I make diamonds under pressure. What's the character limit on Twitter for hashtags?
That probably is good. There's probably more okay. He could have added there. He could probably use all these hashtags that continues past in a single message, I think.
I do like how the I
is not capitalized.
Like, it's camel case. It's the M in make, D in diamonds, etc. is all capitalized, but the first letter, the I, isn't. And then for some reason, that hashtag is bolded. The second hashtag, of which there are four, hashtag your weakness is my strength, which is really, really aggressive, wow, is not bolded. But hashtag thank you is, and hashtag may I have another smiley face is not.
So guys, do not put hashtags in your book.
Please. Don't put smiley faces in your book.
Oh, yeah. There's a ton of those, and it's really actually pretty bad.
And I need to clarify here. This isn't a colon parenthesis smiley face. This is like the Microsoft Word, change it into a circle with a smile in it.
Yep.
Like early emoticon.
Yep. That's exactly what that is. On the next page here, I'm going to skip this introduction, which basically says, like, I went from prison to penthouse, and I'm super cool, and you'll learn that this is a brutal world, and success is rare, and fatal consequences, literally yard, which is basically, life is just as dangerous as prison, and it's scary out there, and no, it is not. It is scary, but like, it's not prison, it's not a good metaphor, and it's the premise of his book, but we'll get further into that. At the end of that introduction, he says, so, come on, read on, sharpen your shank, and let's go get this fool together.
Who's the fool?
It's just a vague enemy that you have.
the level of aggression coming out of this book, it feels less like I'm trying to help me with my life goals, and more like he's trying to help me murder somebody.
I'm actually going to turn briefly back to the table of contents, because chapter 14 is called Stab Your Anxiety. And then, let me see, further on, there's another, yeah, chapter 33 is Stab with Humor. So there's a lot of things you could stab, or should stab, according to him, which is going to be really strange, because there's, okay, I'm turning the page here. Part one, don't be in a rush to get stabbed. But you're also supposed to rush in and stab things. Let's go get this fool together. Like, come on.
Well, I mean, typically that's how fight rules work. You don't want to be stabbed yourself, but you do want to do the stabbing.
I know, but you're getting in a rush to, like, if you're so aggressive, like, people are going to be aggressive back to you. People are not going to, I don't know, like, it's not good advice. Read that, do you mind reading that quote at the top of this?
At the top of which page?
Page 6. There.
Page 6, thank
you. Page 6.
Don't be in a rush to get stabbed. This is your red carpet entrance. So break a leg, but preferably somebody else's.
Okay. Do you know who said that?
I mean, it's quite the profound quote. Is this Gandhi?
I was actually going to make that joke, yeah.
Yes.
But I Googled this quote, and I did about 10 minutes of research, because that's all of this deserved. This is not a quote. Nobody says this.
But it's in quotation marks.
I know. Like, I'm going to just... At the beginning of every chapter and every part, he has some profound, and I'm using air quotes here. You can't see that, but I am. Profound quotation at the beginning of each chapter. But it's just things that he says. It's just... He's quoting himself, not even leaving a citation. Like it would be hilarious if he said if he put his name, like,
full MLA citation.
Yeah. Like, okay, there are some things he puts in there. He's like, studies show later on, and I'm like, there's no citation here. Like, you don't got a citation page or anything like that. So it's just, if you're gonna quote something, actually make it a quote.
There are so many good quotes in the world. People have said some really good stuff.
What this says is that he hasn't read enough good stuff, or he doesn't have enough experiences with other people's thoughts to actually go ahead and agree with them and to ponder them and to find it. You don't even need to do that to put a good quote in your book. You could just Google good quotes, like I did in high school, like, and just tack that on wherever you think that sounds good. Like,
Goodreads is full of them. It's not hard.
Yeah, man. Okay, so next page, page 7, three things everyone always asks me about my prison time is.
1, were you scared? 2, did you get raped?
Oh, yes, sorry. Warning. We are talking about briefly about rape today.
it's real forward, isn't it?
Yeah.
How does it go from scared to that?
Well, these are just the three most common questions, which I think is okay.
3 is, did you have to stab anyone?
So may I just point out, question number 1, were you scared? Keep in mind, already he said that the world is a scary place. And it's a lot like prison, and there are decisions that could be fatal to you. And in the introduction, I did skip a little bit, but he did talk about how he saw people lose their lives and stuff like that. So there are scary things in life, and those are frightening conditions. But let's see how he answers.
My answers are the only answers you should ever have the privilege of responding with, should you ever do time. 1. Hang on.
Yeah.
let's unpack that for a second. My answers are the only answers you should ever have the privilege of responding.
Those are a lot of absolutes shoved into that sentence.
I have the privilege of reading this right now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's not what I meant.
Gotcha. No. I got what you meant now.
How dare you?
I'm such a beta that I could so quickly back down from him making a joke of how pleased he is with this work.
I'm just asserting my dominance, apparently.
He's asserting his dominance. Okay.
Anyway.
So it's the only one we should ever have the privilege to responding with. So these are the only acceptable answers to those three questions.
The only answer to no, I wasn't scared. you want me to read the whole thing?
Yeah.
Most people in this arena, like your arena, are weak, undisciplined, and terrified themselves. Although there are some scary moments there, as are everywhere, no, I was not walking around scared. Most of my time was spent laughing, learning, connecting, and fighting for my freedom. Scottish anthem plays in the background.
Oh, yeah, the sound guy can put that in. I just feel like now I'm asserting my dominance. I'm sorry.
It's like, this is a lot of sound effects. Oh, man.
Yeah, number, that one, like...
Yeah, going back to number two.
Yeah, going back to number two, were you ever raped?
LOL, no. That's yeah. What he says.
Yeah, his response to the question, were you ever raped, is...
LOL, no. Okay, actually, LOL isn't all capitalized, so it's actually LOL.
That's true.
Which makes it worse.
Yes. Subjective. Well, actually, is that objective? That's objective.
I think that's objective.
That's objective. Okay. But read this next sentence here.
I was the guy that raped the dude that raped you. Okay, smiley face.
Okay, so...
Jeez.
He's not saying that rape is bad. But it's a joke if you are the person that got raped. Because it's unacceptable to answer, yes, you were raped.
That... whole can of worms there.
And then on top of that, he says, I'm the person that raped the person that raped you. He says he sees rape as a hierarchy that you should strive to be on the top of.
He's basically saying it's okay to be a rapist.
Yeah.
And this is page 8 of the book.
Yep.
Of a self-help book.
Yep.
And it has a smiley face after him saying that he'll rape the dude that raped you.
Yeah, because that's how justice works. Or, yeah, it's whatever.
So. It's not great. It's not.
So that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And number three here is also pretty good, but in a different way.
So this is to answer the question.
Did you ever have to stab anyone?
Thank you. Did I ever have to stab anyone? No, I never had, italicized, to stab anyone. I was far too valuable for my group to lose me to the hole, especially when we were surrounded by countless willing inmates ready to prove something to their group for the first time in their lives.
So, he goes ahead and he asks the question, did you ever have to stab anyone? So he already loads the question with an easy out for himself, so he didn't have to straight away say, yeah, I stabbed someone once. And then he goes ahead and he... implies that perhaps you should make yourself too valuable in a prison system to do that kind of dirty work and make others do it for you. Which, no. You shouldn't need to stab another human being.
But I mean, yes, absolutely yes. What I feel like he's trying to get at is like is to be assertive and to be the one making moves. It's just the way that he says this so violently. This is right after rape is okay, smiley face.
Yeah. Like, rape is okay, smiley face. Also, don't be in a rush to get stabbed. Which, it's so weird because he says, no, make other people do it. Don't get in a rush to get stabbed. And come on, read on, sharpen your shank, and let's go get this fool together. So, like, his messaging within the span of 4 pages has... like, it's not consistent. It's not consistent enough. So this is, this little section, I actually think this next section I'm going to read here is actually, I think, pretty good as far as some insights go. It says, one major misconception of prison is that inmates are just violent because they have nothing to lose. This typical misunderstanding could not be further from the truth. The only thing that matters there and everywhere is maintaining a quality of life. It's the only thing we all crave, and whether in the corporate world or world of prison, quality of life can always be rapidly adjusted.
Yeah, that's good.
That's pretty cohesive right there. That's not a bad thought. And
that's the kind of stuff you think about when you see the cover and it's different suit, same stripes, how the rise to the top is the same. It kind of, that resonates a bit.
Yeah, because, like, you can actually, having never been in prison, see it and feel it and be like, yeah, when my comforts are attacked, sometimes I have this violent kind of feeling in me and, like, violent reaction. Not literally, but this like...
A visceral reaction.
Yeah, visceral. That actually... That means, like, you're pulling out this... Anyway, I'm not going to...
It's violent, isn't it?
Yeah, it is violent. But, like, you know, I think we have some pretty angry reactions to some of these things. And that's... Like, that makes sense. That's a good insight on human nature, I think. So, that's one of these things that I'm like, okay, that would be good in a little memoir thing. Don't write me a book on how it's okay to rape people. Like, just talk about the prison system and stuff like that. Talk about your insights from that. Like, that's cool. That's kosher. Let's go to page 11. So, this one, there is a little bit of back and forth flipping from table of contents here, but I want you to read this one, Cameron.
Part one of this book is about fighting capitalized, yourself capitalized.
Okay, so he does capitalize that for a reason, because that is the name of the chapter. Would you guess, if you had a guess, what chapter would that be?
Well, if it's part one, you'd expect it to be the next chapter.
Yeah, chapter
one.
Yeah. Okay. It's chapter 11.
So what's part one about?
Oh, part one is titled Entrance.
Okay, that sounds like the beginning of an alternative rock album.
Okay, keep going.
All right, part one of this book is about fighting yourself. Where you fight the urge to be, well, you. Fight yourself to be honest, open-minded, and willing to embrace change. The second part of this book is about fighting alone, also capitalized.
Yeah, that's because that is also a chapter in this book, and that is part of part two. Now... What out of ranking it from part two, say you just started part two, what chapter would you think that would be?
Well, I just said one, and that was apparently wrong, so I'm going to say midway.
Nope, it's the last chapter of that one.
is it called Exit?
It's called Fight Alone.
Oh, right.
Part two is called Integration.
Okay.
But the entire part is supposed to be about fighting alone, which... Consistency, bro. Also, may I just say, part one is where you fight the urge to be, well, you. You can be yourself, man. Like, I understand, like, bettering yourself. But bettering yourself does not mean, like, fighting the urge to be yourself.
I think the better way to phrase that is, you know, don't be afraid to leave your comfort zone and whatnot. Like, everybody has flaws, and... Those are things that we need to be conscious of and work on. But that's real general.
Yeah.
Just everything about you. Don't be you. Fight the urge to be you. Well, who are you going to be?
Yeah. Well, it also implies that in the next sentence, fight yourself to be honest, open-minded, and willing to embrace change. So that implies that you are naturally not honest, not open-minded, and not willing to embrace change. Which is a lot to... just place on everyone in their natural form. There are people that are, like, pretty naturally open-minded, I feel.
Yeah.
And they're the kind of people that buy books like this.
Oof.
Not to dump on open-minded people. I read this book.
The openest of minds. The alpha open mind.
I am the alpha.
The alpha mind.
All right. Then finally... The third part is fighting in front. In front is not two words. It is one word.
In front.
In front.
In front.
It's like Innsmouth. Where you put your skills to work for the benefit of your group and bring your people along your journey to the top. Cameron, you might notice fighting in front is...
Is it capitalized?
It's capitalized!
Whoa!
Guess what?
Okay, so the first chapter, the first part, the chapter name was the first, was the middle chapter. Then this one, the second one was the last chapter, so this one's got to be the first part.
No, it's the last.
It's the last one.
Because there's little sense to this. The part one is supposed to be about finding yourself, and yet it's named Entrance. Part two is about fighting alone, and yet it's called Integration. Part three is about fighting Infant.
Infant.
Which...
The way you're saying it, it sounds like you're fighting infants.
Well, I don't...
Those darn babies.
I'm not going to tell you that he fights infants in this book, but we have not gotten to that chapter, so maybe hang around.
But chapter 17, kick a baby. Oh, jeez. That's not a challenge.
No, that is not
a disclaimer, challenge. That's that me is making not. A joke.
Yeah, sorry, author. That is not what you wrote this book for. But part three is called Leading from the Top, or Leading to the Top. But it's...
So, wait, I thought the third part was called Fighting in Front.
No, that's chapter 37's title. But apparently that's what the entire... part of that book.
But he doesn't say it's about fighting in front. Fighting in front. He says that the third part is fighting in front.
You know what? I just realized. You're right. It's titled Three Leading to the Top. And that's the name of part three. But chapter 37, which is within part three and is the last chapter therein, is fight in front. So... it's just formatting, bro. Like, get beta readers. Get an editor.
Like, an editor would be such... it doesn't even need to be someone qualified, I don't think. Because we're not qualified, and we're the ones picking this apart.
Yeah, that's what beta readers are. Beta readers are laymen who read something and are like, this did not sit well with me.
Or just, yeah, like, the entire whole thing about rape and stabbing. Anybody... should be able to recognize maybe that wasn't the way to phrase it. The point can still stand, but maybe don't phrase it like that.
Well, also, sorry, that part is not actually about giving advice. That part is about bragging that he's a bad A.
Ah, yes.
Because that's
what you want to brag about.
Yeah. He wasn't the person to get raped in there. It's a joke, LOL, no, if you're the guy that gets raped. And you should never, like... it's a privilege to say that you didn't, and yes, it is, but at the same time, like, they're, like, if you're the victim of that, that's not a joke. That's not a joke if you're a victim of rape. Anyway, the flipping page 12.
I still think it's a smiley face that really bothers me about
that. Yes, there's smiley faces everywhere. A quick reference guide. He goes ahead and defines some terms for us, some of which do not need to be defined, some of which is him putting out there and trying to define it, and then he'll never use it in the entire book.
Why does he have basic stuff like WTF?
Yeah, WTF. He invented it, you know. So, at yard, meaning a prison facility, or a yard is a prison facility, at yard is... the recreation yard, but he doesn't say recreation yard, he says rec yard.
This raises more questions. That doesn't help.
That's not a definition. That is more slang using.
You need to put another bullet point under that. That's rec yard equals like recreational facility.
Yeah, it's V equals versus.
Which, I thought it meant vendetta.
Oh, I'm pretty sure you're right about that one, Jeremy. You got that wrong. AF means as, and this is the first time he censors the F word in this book.
But he only censors the middle two letters. So the F and the K are still there.
Oh, he's not consistent with that. Sometimes he just censors the U.
Why? Why? What is the point? You can see clearly what the word is. Why bother censoring?
Yeah, if you're going to say that it's okay to rape people, like, you can drop the F-bomb. Like...
If that's on your hierarchy of
morality,
in this book, where you do rape smiley face, but then you and earlier you just straight up type out the F word,
yeah.
But suddenly, and suddenly you have to censor it. Not only that, but like most of this quick reference guide is the F word.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
AF, TF, WTF, STFU, MF. And he spells that one wrong.
Oh, yeah, he does!
Okay. The M in MF, he spells with a U.
Yeah. So, it's mother.
Yeah. Yeah. Just anyone not reading what I'm reading here, not to say. The M in MF is mother. You can take some guesses what the second part is, but he spells it M-U-T-H-E-R. Why?
I don't know, you gotta be a tough mother to...
tough mother.
Just, I'm gonna actually put a couple of notes, like in those little dots.
Mother.
I'm marking my copy, so now it's Muda.
Mother. Mother. Needs Nuggets.
Which actually would kind of be a cool band for, like, that's a German rock metal band all of a sudden. Anyway, booked equals stabbed, which I think that one actually might be nice. But then you just say stab a ton anyway, so, like...
It's the same number of words. It's one less letter to say booked than it is to say stabbed.
Every letter counts here.
It's the same number of syllables.
And so he just says stabbed all the time anyway. So there's no reason to, like, overcomplicate and be inconsistent with it.
Can we call this volume of literature a stab? I mean, it's booked, right? Booked a stab. Yeah. So we'll take a stab at the stab.
I got it. Well, I'm not in a rush to get stabbed. GQ equals my prison name. I'll explain later, smiley face.
Why?
From what I can tell and remember from this, he never explained his name.
Does he at least call himself GQ?
Yeah, he calls himself GQ in it. Or like he quotes other people like in a kind of a dialogue conversation between him and others. And people like, hey, GQ. And I'm like, okay, like, that makes sense, but I'll explain later, smiley face.
It's a surprise tool that'll help us later.
Yeah, he does this a few times where he's like, I'll let you know later, but disclaimer, identify, and this is him speaking. This isn't just me all of a sudden.
Yeah, putting he's giving this
disclaimer. He's giving this disclaimer. Otherwise this would sound really weird.
Yeah, quote.
I identify black people as black, white as white, Jewish as Jewish, and strong as strong, because strong is a race.
What?
If
that you can't strong, say strong, that's not politically correct.
That is not politically correct. If the use of actual identifying words hurts your baby ego, then please, and he does put multiple knees in here, put this book down and go to venting about how much of a victim you are, because this guidance is not for you.
Then who is it for? He's writing a self-help book.
Well,
isn't the whole idea to help the person that isn't at that level get to your level?
Yeah, so here's the thing. Self-help books should not be welcoming.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, no, that's it.
That's it.
That's it. they should not be welcoming. They should not be helping folks.
I also don't think it should be like, you're not allowed to read this book because you have a sense of morality.
Here's the thing. Like, he also thinks that it's a big issue to call, like, a black person, or a white person, Jewish. Like, these are regular identifying things. Like, I don't get it. I don't get why he's so, like, why he has to take such a big stand or feel like he, like, it's like he has some kind of, like, caricature of someone else that would get offended at that word. And I'm like...
He's one of those people that gets offended at the idea of other people being offended by something that he does or says. Like, how dare you be... Like, in this case, it's not... none of this is... I mean, I could be completely wrong. I'm a white guy. You're a white guy. We're both...
Well, I wasn't going to identify myself as white, but that's okay.
But point is that...
No, I'm too big of a snowflake.
Point is that I could be making a gross overgeneralization here, and I will completely accept that. But is any of this, like, generally offensive? Why is saying Jewish
Well, it's because he's Jewish.
What's... How is it like strong he's, is strong, black is black, white is white, Jewish is Jewish?
Yeah, he's not even, like, it would be different. And here's the thing, I am actually glad, because he could be using the N-word. He could be using the word cracker. He could be using a Jewish slur. I don't know what would be offensive for strong. Maybe alpha? No. Alphas are strong. But like, he's not even using the harsh language to actually offend someone. So like, I'm thankful for that. But at the same time, like, you're kind of put, like, you're getting fake offended at a fake non-offensive thing.
It's a bit of a war on Christmas kind of thing, isn't it? Like, a lot of people get offended if you say Happy Hanukkah when they're not Jewish.
Or just
like,
Happy Holidays or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Why is Happy Holidays an offensive thing? It's not. Nobody is offended except the people.
You're actually offending me right now, and I'm going to just turn the page and continue going on something else.
And yeah.
I'm getting too riled up just by you insulting my Christmas. How dare you?
It's just... It's not...
Slow it down.
People are going to be...
No, I'm stuck on this. That's the name of the next chapter.
Right.
Slow it down.
I need to actually listen to this guy's advice, because he clearly is...
Yeah. New quote.
Speed is a reward earned from success fueled by efficiency. Unquote.
What?
Speed is a reward earned from success fueled by efficiency.
You get speed from success, and you get success from efficiency.
It's fueled by efficiency.
I know, but I'm trying to simplify it because it's overly, like, this is what he thinks sounds smart, but it means nothing.
Okay, let's unpack this then. So if you're, speed is a reward fueled from success. Let's just take that half. So if you're successful, you'll be fast.
Sonic is the most successful person, which means he's also the most efficient. That's how I'm using this, because he's the most efficient life form.
The ultimate life form. The most efficient life form.
Most efficient. Oh, goodness. Okay.
Chaos, get control of your life.
So, this is a chapter called Slow Down, and the first quote is about speed and how speed is a reward for success fueled by efficiency, which is a bunch of nonsense words, but it's about being speedy. And yet, in a world where success takes time and failure is immediate, do yourself a favor and slow down. Don't make a fake Sonic the Hedgehog quote at the beginning of the chapter about slowing down if that's what you're doing, bro. Like, so let me see. So this chapter is honestly, this chapter is just a mess of weird bullet points, and like, he has dialogues with people, but there's no quotations. He makes random little lists in the middle, like turn to page 18.
Oh, he has a photo of his prison shank.
Oh yeah, he has several pictures of him, like, with that shank outside of prison, and he's like hugging, he's got like his arm around them, his big muscly beefy arm, and he, as we mentioned before, he can already crush them just by a flex of his bicep there.
Oh yeah,
they're as good as dead.
Smushes their head like a grape.
But also, like, right almost by their neck, he's holding the knife sharp part inward towards this, the person he's taking the pictures with neck. He's like, this is my Halloween costume. And I'm like,
well, he never had to stab somebody. Maybe he just accidentally did, because he didn't get his totem chit in Boy Scouts.
Oh, that was a thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to whittle at summer camp.
It was called a chit?
I think so. C-H-I-T?
I thought it was chip, but that makes sense. Chit makes sense.
I thought it was chit.
No, chit does make sense, because that's like a little ticket.
Oh, that's what that means?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's a ticket.
I didn't even know chit was a word. I always thought it was funny, and we giggled about it.
I think. Well, I could be very wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's
no,
a
you
ticket.
Might be right. I have no idea.
I'm pretty sure it's a ticket, but...
You're probably right.
So at this page, in my new arena, I was surprised to watch inmates get beat up for A, spitting in their own sink, toilet skies.
Okay, wait.
And there's
Are you not allowed to spit? Is it...
I'm also phrasing this in a form that is not a question because there's question marks here.
Spitting in their own sink?
Toilet skies?
And that's in parentheses. He's not adding
that. Yeah, parentheses is...
Toilet skies.
Toilet skies. B, sharing food with another race.
In parentheses.
Which, I don't know if that never means I would personally never share food with someone of my own race. It's really ambiguous and not specific. And I can be generous here, but it's just a dumb thing to put here. Don't insert your own opinion such a vague way.
It's so vague. Never, is he saying do it or don't? And toilets...
Is it a sarcastic, like never, like, he would, and he thinks that rule is ridiculous? Not getting your case file from your attorney within 2 weeks, which...
Within 2 weeks?
Working 2 weeks.
Because all these are with question marks at the end. Yeah,
which, by the way, working at a law firm, expecting... When you have a lot of case files and when your attorney is dealing with a lot of exterior systems, expecting an exact turnaround for things is not... It's not right. Also, someone is getting stabbed for a case file not getting it back from. So who's getting stabbed in that situation? It just sounds like I have a rough day. My attorney did not get back to me the way I expected it. So I'm gonna get stabbed.
Hey, Big Mike, did you get your case file back? Nah, man, it's gonna take me another 2 weeks, is what they said. Oh, you know what this means, man. I'm sorry. You know
that's
what
that's a prison rule, bro.
I'm sorry to do this to you, man.
All right. Using an available phone. Get permission from that race first.
What?
So,
why does he have to bring race into... Why does he have to...
He doesn't explain. I assume it's that... Like, there's different things that are, like, the claimed property of different gangs and the like. So, like, you get permission from one gang to use the phone that was claimed from them, even if it's just available or whatever.
Why? Okay, so does race mean gang, then? Why wasn't that in the quick reference guide?
I could be... I doubt that, but there's often, like... He'll talk about Mexicans being together and whites on the other side and stuff like that. And I'm
just call it a gang. Like, sure, yeah, maybe
he doesn't use the word gang either because in this book he does not use that word. He uses my group.
Then call it a group. Just why is it race?
I don't know.
That's what's bugging me.
Because whites are whites and blacks are blacks.
Call it anything. Why do you have to bring race into it? Even if there is a semblance of truth into that, just why?
Speaking to the police by yourself. Now, that's just snitching, what he's talking about. Buddy system is referring to snitching. I know that because he describes that later in the book and, you know, stuff like that. Walking out of the shower with shower shoes and sandals on. Shoes? In parentheses, just the word shoes in parentheses after that.
No quotation marks either. Is he suggesting that we should use shoes?
I think, like, apparently it's a disgusting thing to use shower shoes, and then walk elsewhere with them. But, like, it's okay when you're in the showers to wear sandal shoes, but if you step out of the shower with your shoes on and have not taken off your shower shoes, then... You're gonna get stabbed, apparently. I have no way to confirm how accurate this is because I was not in his position, but he does no job in explaining any of this.
He just adds more vagary to everything. Like, the idea of a self-help book by someone who came out of prison generally can be a good idea, but he's building on all the wrong points, I feel like.
Yeah.
And he's just raising way more questions than he answers.
Yeah, that's, and that he'll tell you that that's a part of the intrigue, and oh, well, you should read my next book for that. And the thing is, well, I'll tell you about that later, smiley face. And it's just so that he can build up some sort of magnetic mystique about him. And legitimately, I did ask him the actual question, did you ever stab someone? Because I know the author here, and I asked him that, and he's like, I never had to. And I'm like, no.
That's not the question.
That's not the question. Did you ever stab someone? Because you can still stab someone with not having to stab someone.
Oh, whoops, my shank slipped.
Well, maybe it's not a life or death situation, and I...
Oh, just straight up murder, yeah.
Yeah, it's... This needs not... It doesn't need to happen. It doesn't have to happen. It's just going to happen.
This is bound to happen, really.
Yeah! Like, it's... Yeah, Halloween prep 2017. That's the picture of his shank. There is a... using foul language against someone, and that's just telling them that you want to fight, but... and he just... You'll notice throughout this... Just flipping through this chapter... You'll notice that things are randomly bolded. Things are randomly in lists. This entire chapter is... These are the things that would get you hurt in prison. And that's it. And what am I supposed to take away from that in real life? When sharing food with someone of a different race than me will get me stabbed? Well, applying that in real life is a pretty crappy solution. Like, don't live by prison rules in real life.
Does he at least give you, like, some sort of analog to real life here?
No!
So,
there's no analog.
That's the whole point of the book!
It says, on your first day, please heed the words of this chapter. Don't be in a rush to get stabbed. Slow down and begin your rise to the top by acquiring strength with chapter 2. Show some respect to yourself first. So, the very last thing that he's like... Oh, the thing that will actually make you successful is the next chapter.
Then why do we have this chapter?
We don't need this chapter. Arguably, you don't need most of these chapters or any of these chapters because this is an ego boost. This is a project for your own pride. But it's chapter 2. Read the quote.
Nobody's... Again... No capitalization.
And no citation here. Gandhi did not say this.
All right. Nobody's going to give you more respect than you give yourself. So hashtag get some. There is no end quote, so actually, I'm just going to keep going in this voice.
Hold on. There is not?
There is no end quote.
Oh, man. We need to find
So that. Technically, we're still going. Gandhi is still speaking.
Oh, man. Gandhi. Good Gandhi. Okay. All right. So let's go ahead and... So... Page 21, bottom right, if you would start reading there.
Although there is an...
Oh, actually, before, may I just say...
Can't believe I've done this.
Yes, I did. I did do that. He has a part on that first page that says, prison sucks.
All caps,
so that's why I said it like that. And prison is scary as hell. But you should... The only answer, the only acceptable answer to were you scared is... No, I had a great time. I spent most of it laughing, learning, and fighting for my freedom.
So then is it scary or not?
Well, no, the only acceptable answer is it's not. Other people are terrified in that world,
but
and you shouldn't be, because you should be laughing and learning and fighting for your freedom.
Prison's scary, but I'm the Giga Chad. Yeah, I don't afraid of nothing.
So it's so dumb. So that... This entire thing contradicts itself only because he wants to sound either cool in one area or, like, sympathetic in another. And he just hops between them. It's ridiculous. But that section I asked you to read, I won't interrupt you this time, I promise.
Yeah, see to it.
Okay.
Although there is an infinite way to categorize individuals within a group, I found, all bold at this from this point forward, I could basically separate inmates into one of two categories. Either you're fighting with that prisoner, or, not bolded, bolded, you're not.
There's a random word in there that is not bolded.
Just or is not bolded for some reason. All right, it's unbolded now. Simple. Focus on the ones I'm fighting with, because I'm basically cool with everyone else.
Just whenever there's a bolt, just like, ah, like, you know, some different voice or volume, you know?
Should I just restart this whole thing then?
No. Okay. Continue where you were.
Simple. Focus on the ones I'm fighting with, because I'm basically cool with everyone else. Understand that fights can be physical and or non-physical. But either way, they are known by the exact same phrase. Disrespect! What is disrespect? And why is it important?
Next part. He's going to teach us about disrespect here.
Ooh. One. Disrespect is an attack.
It's like the Rick and Morty. Show me what you got.
I like what you've got.
Yeah.
Two. Disrespect is intentional. Three. Disrespect is harmful.
So,
why did he need the disrespect on each line? Couldn't he just said disrespect, colon, or is, colon, 1, 2, 3?
Yeah. Because he doesn't know how the English language and formatting works. Beta readers. Once again, just use beta readers. Use an editor. Pay me.
I will do it.
Yeah, give me a chunk, bro. Give me a chunk. Go ahead.
For example, I can sock you in the face intentionally, and we're gonna have a problem. However, as I once did, I turned around too quickly while talking enthusiastically with my arms and accidentally popped the top crip in the face. And then it says in parentheses, really? And then a poorly censored F.
Yeah.
This one's with the two asterisks in the middle, because that's important.
Two exclamation points, too.
Oh, yeah, two exclamation points, yes. Tensions were high and emotion ran deep, but it was what it was. An unfortunate accident where there was no need to lose everything over defending yourself in a situation not involving disrespect. Disrespect is an intentionally harmful attack.
So, he doesn't... Let me see. Respect means that I'm not attacking you, whether it punches in the face or being bullied or verbally attacked. All are absolute intentional disrespect. That's why respect is everything. Don't attack me and I won't attack you. -respect.
I don't see how hyphens work.
That is not, no. And so he doesn't even answer what happened in that situation. He's like, yeah, once I spoke a little harder and I swung my arm and I hit a big dude who was part of a gang, and that was not good. He doesn't say if that started a fight. He didn't say that, like, oh, you see, and that was disrespectful of me. He just kind of is like, well, that just kind of happens. Oh, shoot. And I'm like, how does that at all send any kind of message on the subject that you're wanting? You're saying disrespect is an attack. But the stories that you use don't have that message. Like, it's just bad. This is not how you do a self-help. Also, may I just say, disrespect is not an attack. It is a disagreement, if anything, I feel. Like, I feel like most of it's just a disagreement. It is not an intentional affront to who you are. It's a disagreement of opinions. Disrespect isn't of an it's not always of an intent. It's just,
like, I was at a I once took a karate class, just one episode, because who can see me doing karate? Anyway, while I was at the dojo, I have a habit of crossing my arms all the time.
Yeah,
it's just what I do. I always have to be doing something with my hands, and usually they're just in front of my chest.
Yeah.
And apparently the sensei in that dojo gave me a warning of that's actually really offensive in a dojo like this. You probably didn't know that, but it is disrespectful. And so I had to keep my arms at my side the entire time. Now, whether or not that is a thing, because, again, this was in, like, rural Texas when that happened, disrespect is not an intentionally harmful attack.
Yeah.
I had no idea I was being disrespectful.
Yeah.
I've probably said some disrespectful things in this podcast without realizing it.
Yeah. You did.
Oh.
No. Like, sorry, that was disrespectful of me. And that was intended.
That is an intentionally harmful attack you just made.
No, but like, yeah, like, disrespect is, it's not these things. He's making out that, like, it's this line in the sand, you're with me or you're against me thing. And that's just not how things work. It's not real life. So, yeah. I'm going to skip over to the next side there. Show some respect to yourself first.
Wait, hang on.
Yes, do the right voice, sir.
No. I need to rewind a bit because this line is sticking out to me.
Oh, please do.
You're likely to avoid all problems if everyone respects you. Because that is how life works.
Yep. All problems will likely be avoided if everyone just respects you. Because
that is the worst life advice.
Focus on people liking you.
The best life advice I have ever been told was that nobody cares about me. And not in that way. In the sense that, like...
Oh, Cameron, come on.
No. In the sense that you go about your life, everybody else is going about their life.
Yeah.
If you screw up in any way, if you do something embarrassing, those moments that you spend at night thinking about the embarrassing things you did in high school, no one cares except you. And that's a good thing. Yeah. That is the best advice I ever had, because I never had to worry about the fact that people don't respect me. Sure, you should want respect, but not everyone is going to give it to you, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But, no,
you can't control how other people view you or think of you, hence why this book is dedicated to us haters. And but, yeah, good point there. That's a good takeaway.
You're likely to avoid all problems if everyone respects you. That is the way that you screw up an upbringing. You tell that to a kid, they're going to take that with them through their lives, and it's going to kill them.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Nobody is going to give you more respect than you give yourself. Which, I think that part's a little better.
That's good.
That's a little bit more sound. That is bolded, so I should have used my...
Show some respect, because that is all caps.
Yeah.
To yourself first.
Yeah. Exactly. The last thing your group wants to do is vouch for your good character, only to watch you mess up where you now feel disrespected and discredited by others. It takes trust to give someone respect, and if you don't trust them, you're better off avoiding and offering them nothing at all.
I felt I know where this was going, and that wasn't it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nonsense. I'm just going to actually skip a few more pages, because he keeps on about attacks and how respecting yourself and gaining respect from others will help even more people appreciate you and give you more respect.
Well, respect is the wrong word here. I feel like you never want to destroy your own character.
Yeah.
Because people look at you in a certain way, and if someone looks up to you, you don't want to give them a reason not to look up to you. It's like my dad's a businessman. He's made a name for himself.
Yeah.
And that was something he always kind of drilled home for me, is never do anything that will destroy your character.
Yeah.
That's where I think he should be going for.
Yeah.
Respect just kind of sounds like you can get respect by beating the pulp out of somebody until they stop calling you names.
Mm.
That's not what you should be going for.
Yeah, that's fear.
Yes. You don't want fear. You want people to appreciate Old Testament, you for your character.
It's Old Testament reverence.
Yes.
Yeah, he goes over a couple more things. He makes a dumb acronym. Also, at the top of page 25, he says, prison is effing fun.
With four U's.
With four U's and three exclamation points, which...
I'm going to go there now.
At the bottom of the left here, he does have a little letter that apparently he wrote to Nevada or whatever. It's probably just something he wrote for the book, but it describes what he got into prison for. And said, I had a driving problem with tons of tickets from speeding in a Dodge Viper in my 20s. which is actually just him flexing in that sentence because he had a Dodge Viper in his 20s and he liked driving fast with it. I've never had any DUI accident, injury, or death. And although I was sentenced for numerous DUIs for alcohol, every test came back a year later showing zero alcohol and zero illegal drugs every time. I did not need to see all that crap. 18 years.
Well, he didn't say crap.
Yeah, he didn't say crap there. But how TF did you even get that number?
Hang on, I don't know what TF means, so let me go back to
Go back there and check.
Let me go back to my quick reference guide.
Not the best regards, Jeremy, author of this book. So essentially, here's actually something that I find really interesting, and I think I've worked close to an hour.
We're beyond an hour at this point. Let's just
finish this little spot here, chapter. So he had speeding, and from what I understand, that is all he was going for. He went to prison for, because we do live in a system in which if you get enough misdemeanors and you don't get those taken care of, they will upgrade it into a federal offense and you will spend a ton of years in prison for stacked misdemeanors. So a part of his story that is actually fascinating and I love learning about in this book is that this is a system we live in, and that's a really crappy lot to be handed. And yes, you could say, well, they deserved it. They were speeding in a Dodge Viper, and, you know, he was in his 20s and whatever, and that's a dumb 20s decision. Like, you don't take away people's, there's so many freedoms lost in prison, and that's just not, the way to go about it. So, that's something I want to hear more about in this book, not this stupid respect looks like this.
Yeah.
It looks like being the strongest dude around, it looks like. Skipping the next part, he gives a crappy acronym and then he over explains it. The HOW triangle, HOW, H, honesty, zero, open mindedness, or I said zero, O, open mindedness, W, willingness. I'm pretty sure he probably stole that from somewhere else.
There's no MLA citation.
And no citations here, but even if he didn't, this is pretty crappy because I feel like those are almost a little close. If you're open-minded, you might be being more honest with yourself. I don't know. It's just that seems like okay advice, but it's also pretty bog standard and seems like it's in every other self-help book. He gives statistics without MLA citation, page 27. Recent studies show that 93% of communication is nonverbal, 55% body language, 38% tone of voice, 7% the words coming out of your mouth. he does say yo in that. Posture for life. He's push up and scan low, which is, it's a nothing statement. It's basically be cool and it's stupid. Let people see the best light you have. Start off by doing 200 push-ups. Cell doors open in the yard time. With a nice pump, I would casually stroll out of my cell with my head held high, issuing healthy, polite eye contact with whomever met my view. So push up and scan low is basically work out and look good and people will respect you. But anyway, next time we do this, we'll need to do maid service, which is spelled wrong. This is chapter 3. The next few chapters can just literally slap them together, make one mega chapter about keeping care of yourself, but that's all we got time for tonight.
We're out of time here, so thank you for joining us today. This is the first time we've ever done a podcast, so we hope to be making more of them. Like us on whatever podcasting service we upload this to.
Yep.
And if you like it, spread the word.
Yeah, please do so. Once again, this is Paige Burdums.
I'm Cameron.
I'm Jacob, and you have a great night. Or
is this the part where we say a catchphrase?
This is the part where we say a catchphrase. Oh, we'll come back to that
later. We'll loop around.